produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, V.R. Hoisington and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast episode 371. Is Awaken the pinnacle of Yes Music?
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 371 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along a little bit later on. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week, Mark and I discuss the importance of Awaken. Is this song the pinnacle of Yes Music? We also have a chance to discuss a fascinating new interview with John Anderson, where he reveals a few things about Yes and the upcoming tour. On Patreon this week, we announced the winners of March's Book Club book, Stephen Lamb's Yes, Every Album, Every Song, and we continued reading Simon Barrow's Solid Mental Grace. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, as well as having access to all the exclusive Patreon activities, then please head over to Patreon, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast. In March, we will also be giving away a couple of copies of a rather obscure Yes CD, so you might want to join in time for that. On the YMP Facebook page, John D posted a rare sound recording from 1980 of the Downs and Horn Yes playing Parallels. It's definitely worth a listen. Preston Frazier has reached New State of Mind, the opening song from Open Your Eyes, which he says is in his top five Yes albums. So now you have someone else to pillory. Me, Tomato, Preston, Open Your Eyes. Dave Fagan reposted Eriko Kurokawa's pictures of the Japanese Gottlieb Brothers Yes 50 Tour programme, which is another stunner, and Daniel Crone added his thoughts on Keys to Ascension 1. Paul Watson reshared Paul Vaughan's link to Guitar World's stream of the latest John Anderson interview, which Mark and I are coming back to later. I think it's that one. And one of the reportedly many musicians who will make up John Anderson's Thousand Hands Band, Joe Cossus, posted several photographs of himself with John. He describes himself as a utility musician and will apparently play keyboards, banjo, trombone, guitar and sing. All at the same time? Incidentally, the extract I've heard from A Thousand Hands which features banjo sounds a bit odd to me. It could well be my non-US prejudice, so I'll just have to wait and see. I reposted several Billy Sherwood Japan tour selfies, and the tour itself seems to have been very well received indeed. There's a notable lack of videos, which may be down to different attitudes to illegal recording in that country. The tour was short, included a lot of lovely merchandise and set lists, which most commentators found a little bit of a disappointment. I've included links in the show notes to the Forgotten Yesterday's pages for the concerts. Let me know what you think of the set lists, particularly the much-publicised three different ones at the three Tokyo concerts. As far as a lot of US fans are concerned, it seemed they are hoping for a rather different experience on their upcoming dates, and it looks like there will be no dates at all in the UK this year, which hopefully means work will be starting soon on the rumoured 2020 new Yes album. Fingers crossed. In the visitor posts, Jeffrey Mason added that John Anderson video interview from the Cutting Room in New York, and Joseph Cottrell added the Haken performance of Hold On from The Cruise to the Edge. As Joseph says, it's a very good version indeed. Adrian Bell has published the latest episode of his prog show, which includes Union. And over on Twitter, it was a very busy week again. A few highlights included Trevor Horn posting 1980 photos, the news from Yes Official that Record Store Day this year will include a release of the first album, Yes, on coloured vinyl, the anniversary of the first compilation, Yesterday's, dampening of the Patrick Mraz touring with Yes this year rumours from Simon Barrow, and lots of photos from the Yes Japan tour. Thank you to everyone who's been in touch again this week in any way, and thank you once again for the kind wishes for me and my family. The book we're reading in March 2019 in the 5% for Something YMP Book Club is Stephen Lamb's Yes, Every Album, Every Song. His praise for Awaken, alongside Simon Barrow's in his book Solid Mental Grace, Listening to the Music of Yes, has prompted me to consider the place of that song in the Yes catalogue. As Stephen points out in Polls of Progressive Music, Close to the Edge almost invariably comes out on top of the album list, but Awaken, from Going for the One, often wins Best Song. Stephen describes it as a 15-and-a-half-minute masterpiece, which shows off everything that makes Yes and indeed progressive rock so compelling when it's done well. On the same topic, Simon Barrow says, Yes had for me peaked musically with Awaken on Going for the One. Against some who see it merely as an overblown cycle of fifths, I would rate Awaken as one of the band's finest achievements, signalling Yes at the height of their powers, along with the three albums that precede this one. He describes the Yes epic as a seamless musical garment, in which the players weave in and out of the light and shade, spurred on or restrained by the changing dynamics to drive home the sublime whole. And here's my take on the song right back in episode 9, which I released in November 2011. I said, I was lucky enough to hear Rick Wakeman playing the opening of Waken live with Yes in 2003, and incidentally I should also add in 2017 with ARW now, and it has to be one of the most exciting moments of my musical life. There can be no more mysterious, tantalising, intriguing opening to any piece of music than this. It showcases Wakeman's virtuoso technique, and when Anderson comes in, steeped in reverb, the word painting of the high-pitched vocal line certainly does suggest a dreamlike mood. High vibration go on to the sun, oh let my heart dreaming. This leads to a section where a very distinctive pulse is set up, with ostinato parts in the guitar doubled by bass. The percussion is a little reminiscent of some parts of Tales, with some exotic-sounding instruments keeping the beat. The vocal line uses a common technique of the main sequence, repeated patterns rising in pitch to provide an uplifting feel, as Anderson sings, Awaken, sun's high, stream through. And the overlapping of the long lyrics and vocal line stretching over the accompaniment produces a mystical feel. There's a lot of intricate interplay between Squire, Wakeman and Howe here, with the ceaseless momentum carried forward by White's contribution. Elaborate, explorative instrumental sections leads to those long vocal lines again, which act as a kind of staging point between the instrumental passages. The melodic instrumental themes are given a very thorough working through until at 5 minutes 15 seconds we have the church organ reappearing in triumphant mood. Listen carefully to what Chris Squire is doing here. He begins to play an elongated counter melody at different octaves, and it's as if the roles have now been reversed. Anderson sings some quite quick vocal patterns with a lot more words, while Squire carries on this long motif below. Then Wakeman adds a fast-moving solo with Squire maintaining what he is doing beneath. Yet again, the sense of contrast and juxtaposition creates a classic Yes sound, a classic Yes texture. It's mind-numbing epic stuff. This grand section then gives way to the meditative central section, which features John Anderson on harp and Alan White on tune percussion using minimalist repeating patterns beneath improvised-sounding keyboards and then church organ. It's a mesmeric effect. The volume grows gradually, and I think this is where the choir enters the mix. The sleeve notes state that the Richard Williams singers are on the track. To be honest, I had always assumed the choral effect was produced on a keyboard, so it was a lovely surprise to discover for the first time that Rick Wakeman actually did a wordless choral arrangement for Awaken. Listening carefully now, it adds yet another layer of majesty and wonder to this section. This is another of those sections in which to close your eyes and let the music float over and around you. At about 9 minutes 56 seconds, the tonality shifts suddenly, but the ostinato patterns remain as the material is worked through to a wonderful moment of Yes Genius, where Anderson appears singing Master of Images, Songs Cast a Light on You. This is the perfect example of the musical mastery of the band, making a spine-tingling feature of a seamless segue into a different section. If your senses haven't been tingling up until this point, you cannot fail to be moved by the beauty and power of the moment. There is Squire again with that slow-moving motif under Anderson's faster lyrics, producing an even more engaging mood. Is it because of the key change? Another Howe solo lies effortlessly on top of growing keyboard, bass and drums, and then space is left for a virtuosic Wakeman organ solo, spiralling upwards. Next he's joined by the band for a tumultuous recap of that bass guitar main theme. The music dies away finally to reveal Anderson singing High Vibration Go On, recapping the beginning of the track. As so many times before, the band provide a direct contrast to the previous section with beautiful harmonies and washes of sound, which lead to a bluesy little Howe solo moment to end the track and the album. As I've said many times before, the best Yes pieces feel like journeys, and Awaken is very much in that camp. There's so much in it, so much light and shade, so much contrast, so much breadth of imagination, creativity and musicianship, that it must be close to the perfect progressive rock composition. So, I was pretty impressed with Awaken back then, and I still am now. Martin Popoff, in his book, Time to Word the Yes Story, is a little less impressed. He says the track does sound a little forced, a little too eventful and segued. I can see what he means, even if I don't agree. It could be argued that the song has been thoroughly and carefully planned explicitly to be the culmination of the previous journey from the Yes album through Fragile, Close to the Edge, Tales and Relayer. It's absolutely not self-parody or pastiche, but I can understand the idea that the band were trying too hard to make a Yes classic epic. There's a great danger for bands who become self-aware after popularity strikes, and it produces a tricky dilemma. After going for the one, Yes can be seen to have fallen into the trap many times. Should they try to recreate the music and the feel of their heyday, arguably like they did on Drama or Keys to Ascension? Should they blend 70s approaches with new elements like On the Ladder or Magnification? Or should they deliberately attempt to forge a new identity for the band, like on 90125? So to say that in constructing Awaken, Yes is trying to do a Close to the Edge, Gates of Delirium or Ritual would be understandable. Casualties of this approach, in my opinion, would include Queen, interestingly with added Steve Howe, trying to create Bohemian Rhapsody 2 with innuendo, Mike Oldfield revisiting Tubular Bells repeatedly, and most recently British ska band The Specials, releasing a new album of music which sounds very much like their 1980s hits. You will, of course, be able to point me towards many exceptions to this, and please do if you'd like to, but in these cases, for me, the evidence of trying too hard to recapture earlier glories ends up in music which feels flat and uninspired. However, that's not how Awaken affects me, as you can tell from my florid reactions above. A significant number of serious fans believe Yes should have disbanded after going for the one, and Awaken would have made a wonderful end to the cycle. But I, for one, am glad that they didn't. In Yes Stories, Tim Morse quotes Alan White's comment that the song is hard to play live, but is amazing. He and Rick Wakeman speak very fondly about the process of creating the piece, particularly the technical arrangements by which they recorded Wakeman's church organ parts live in the studio via the superb Swiss phone lines. Perhaps the fact that ARW were so keen to have Awaken in their setlist and actually played it on the same day as Yes a few times in 2018 shows the importance of the piece, and it appears on ARW's single recorded release so far. I think it does work extremely well in concert. It seems to stand alone much better than some other epics, which need the rest of the album to work fully, perhaps. And don't get me started on songs like Soon, which are regularly divorced from their context. I also like the way Simon Barrow sums up Awaken. He says, "Awaken is a quite extraordinary piece of music. It's one of Rick Wakeman's finest moments with the band, and an occasion of unsurpassed unity in what many still regard, notwithstanding the immense contributions of Bill Bruford and others, as the classic Yes lineup. John Anderson has often said that, for him, Awaken is all he could hope for in a piece of music, and a true summation of what Yes, at its apex, is all about. The song has its critics and agnostics, of course. For some it is too grand, too elaborate, too everything. But in my experience, it is a track that can soon determine whether a listener is going to discover fully the humming core of Yes music or feel finally undecided by it." If I were to suggest other songs which better sum up what I think Yes is all about, however, I might choose something like Ritual from Tales from Topographic Oceans. Unfortunately for me, though, Rick Wakeman is not an equal partner in Ritual like he is in Awaken. There are sections of exquisite piano in the new Somme du Soleil section, and plenty of keyboard effects in the battle scene, as well as the usual Wakeman mastery of tone and structure. But he doesn't enjoy the same developed highlights as bass, percussion, guitar and vocals. Whether it is or not, Ritual feels more experimental, less formalised, freer. So perhaps it could be said to be more representative of the pinnacle of Yes's progressive output. But on the other hand, does that make it more representative of Yes as a whole? In the end, Yes's collected output is far too varied to be able to be summed up by a single piece. Maybe we need, as I mentioned above, to split off the main sequence of albums and choose our emblematic song from there, and then consider other eras. Certainly we would need to consider the first two albums in a different category, and after Tormato or maybe Drama, things get so fragmented that there's clearly not one single Yes approach or even sound. A very quick brainstorm led to the following list of possible iconic pieces from different eras for me. Yesterday and Today, America, Close to the Edge, Gates of Delirium, Ritual, Awaken, Owner of a Lonely Heart, Endless Dream, Homeworld, Magnification, and Fly From Here. But what would you choose?
Greetings, friends. So this week, Kevin and I are going to be talking about something very interesting. What we're going to be discussing is a question. And the question that we have asked each other is, does Awaken sum up what Yes music is all about. Now, this is a very interesting question, I find, because I know that Awaken has always been kind of looked at as a pinnacle point for Yes, musically and performance-wise even as well. But this may not be the case. There might be other songs within the catalog that better represent Yes as a whole. And for me personally, I'm going to start by answering this question. For me, I say the answer is no. I don't think that Awaken sums up what Yes music is all about. Now, there are other songs that come to mind when I think of this question. Close to the Edge, Ritual, and Gates of Delirium. All these songs have a lot in common with Awaken. They're all epic songs. They're all long. They are all looked at as the sort of centerpiece of each of those records that they're on. But why do I think that Awaken is not the sum of all Yes music? Because I feel the arrangement of the song isn't strong enough to warrant that title. In fact, I think Awaken is very similar to two of the other songs I mentioned. Close to the Edge, for example. Awaken starts off with a sort of signature piano piece, and Close to the Edge has a very signature type beginning, which is just based around sound effect. They start off sort of grandiosely, and what I find that's very similar between the two pieces is that you have a big buildup of music, and then in the middle part of the song, it drops down to a very, very quiet and very subdued part of the song. After that part is done, it kicks back up, and then we go forward in the song, and it continues to its end. The one song that I feel that's different in this sort of arrangement, because I think Ritual does the same thing. It starts off with a signature type beginning with that bass guitar introduction, and then you have a whole middle section that kind of breaks down again, which has that little bass solo part, and then we get back into it. And it drops down again to New Some Du Soleil and goes out to the end. Now, the one song that doesn't have this sort of similarity is Gates of Delirium. And to me, I'm going to give my vote to this song as being the song that sums up Yes music. Because it has everything that I think a Yes song should have. Fantastic performance, fantastic lyrics. I actually think these lyrics are one of John's more stronger lyrics. And the middle section in this part is the complete opposite of the other songs. It doesn't break down or slow down. It continues onto a very high energy performance where there's a lot of sound effects and a big battle is going on during that section. The performance that actually really made me realize that this song is that good to be warranted as the be-all end-all Yes song is the performance that they did with the symphony orchestra. I mean, that performance took that song to a whole new level and shows how grand it could be when you add an orchestra to it. And while they also did Ritual during that show, I don't think that that song came off nearly as strongly as Gates of Delirium. Now, like I said, the main difference in these songs and why I think Gates of Delirium is stronger is arrangement. The song starts off strong and continues to be very strong throughout the whole song and actually builds to a very high peak. And then once we get to that point, it comes down and we get into Soon, which takes the song to its end. And I think that that's actually the proper way to have resolved this song. And I think it's actually the best way to resolve such an epic song is to bring it to a high point and then end off with a sort of somber ending. And I always thought that this song had all these elements in spades. And I think also another thing that was very important about this song is because you have Patrick Mraz in the band at this time. It introduced a new element into the music. And I think they really fed off of this. And they really had something to prove as well. Because once Rick Wakeman left the band, I think people started scratching their head wondering what this band would do without Rick. And I think they proved without a shadow of a doubt that they could write just as complex, if not more complex, songs without Rick. As to me, Relayer as a whole is, I think, the pinnacle of their musical career. Now, another interesting question that came up during this discussion is, does Awaken sum up the whole of the Yes music catalog, or does it only sum up the classic period? Now, that's a very interesting question, because I have a lot of friends that listen to music, of course, and one of the things that I found very interesting when discussing Yes with them is, whenever I bring up Yes, I would sometimes get this response, "Oh, I like Yes, but I don't like that Yes." And I'd always wonder what they meant by that. What do you mean by that Yes? They were referring to the Yes that plays those 20-minute long pieces. And they would always say that they liked Yes, but they liked the commercial Yes. The Owner of a Lonely Heart, yes. And if they liked the older Yes, they would even say that they sometimes preferred the, you know, I've Seen All Good People, yes. Or the first album or second album, yes. Which is very interesting that sometimes people turn their noses up at Yes because of the fact that they write such long, epic-y songs. Some people don't like it. So does Awaken, well, maybe not Awaken, in my opinion, would Gates of Delirium sum up Yes music as a whole? Or just for the classic period? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think they ever wrote a song as good as that after, but they've definitely wrote a lot of strong songs that were not in that same vein of writing. Like, there's a lot of songs in their later catalog that I love. For example, Homeworld I love, Changes is fantastic, Hearts is great, Shoot High, Aim Low is fantastic, but they're not epics. I also love Love Will Find a Way, or Hold On. And those are the more commercial end of things from the Yes catalog. So I would say that Gates of Delirium sums up Yes music from that classic period, because it definitely doesn't sum up what Yes was about in the 80s and onward. I think Yes had a bit of a different identity later on in those years. And even now, I think that they've kind of steered away from looking too far back into their catalog as far as writing. I don't think that they want to write another Relay or write another Close to the Edge. I think they kind of want to move forward. Whatever that means, musically, I guess we'll see, because rumor has it there will be a new Yes album in 2020. So I'm very curious to see what happens at that period. But I guess to end this off, I believe that Gates of Delirium is the song that best sums up Yes music, but the Yes music of the classic era. So let's go over to Kevin and discuss further.
Okay, our collective thoughts on Awaken and whether it really is the pinnacle of Yes music or not. Be fascinated to hear what you think. But Mark is here with me now. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. So I was listening to your piece after writing mine and fascinated to see that you'd actually picked Close to the Edge, Ritual, and Gates of Delirium, exactly the same ones as I had considered for in fact, the pinnacle of what you would call the classic era. And I was fascinated to see, to hear your description of Close to the Edge and Ritual of having similarities. But you said that Gates really sums it up for you. But I was going to ask you about that, because now you've got Patrick Mraz then playing in the song which sums up Yes. Can you really ignore Wakeman's input?
That's an interesting question, because with that kind of thinking, you would have to also say, you know, what about Tony Kaye, right? I mean, he was involved in a lot of the formative stuff. A lot of people say that Yes, the Yes album, some people consider the best Yes album that was ever made as well. And I've read that in numerous spots, you know. I don't think it is. But I mean, obviously Rick Wakeman is a huge presence, and everybody knows how much I love him. He's one of my favorite musicians, and I collect him extensively. But as far as I'm concerned, when I think of a Yes song that encapsulates everything that I love about Yes music and that I think represents Yes the best, I've always think of Gates of Delirium.
Well, I think that's interesting for two reasons, because it points out that Mraz just fitted in brilliantly. You know, they... From our point of view, if we decide that Gates is the one that really sums up this period anyway of Yes, he slots in brilliantly. And of course, he will tell you that he was behind a lot of the ingredients of Awaken as well. So maybe Mraz is actually the magic ingredient, and goodness knows what could have happened if he'd stayed on.
Oh, I agree 100% with that. That's one of the great wonders, I would say, about Yes history. What if Patrick would have stayed for, let's say, two more albums? What would it have sounded like if we did Going for the One with Patrick, or if we even did, you know, Tormato with Patrick? What would it have been like, you know? I just think that he fit in well. I mean, they even said it themselves that some of the songs that they did live during that period, Steve Howe went on to say that he thought that he played some of those songs just as good, if not better, than Rick in some occasions, like Close to the Edge and songs like that. So obviously he did fit in like gloriously with them.
Yeah. And it is fascinating to hear. I mean, Rick, I'm sure I've heard Rick Wakeman saying that he thinks also Awaken is the pinnacle of Yes music. I mean, not just any any particular era of the band, but he thinks that that sums up what Yes should be all about for him as well. And you know, that is fascinating that he was fine with some of that material, certainly. I mean, you can hear it, that there are those tapes, aren't there, with Mraz at least playing a little bit at the start of some of the material on Awaken there. So interesting that Wakeman is happy to incorporate Mraz's ideas there in that. But I think that is the mark of Rick Wakeman, isn't it? We've mentioned it before. He's happy to take and develop other people's material and fit in. And like I was saying about Ritual, he doesn't star as such in Ritual at all. But if he wasn't there, if he wasn't adding that piano and those touches and that brilliant background or accompaniment or whatever you want to call it, it wouldn't be anything like as good.
Yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing too to think about when you go into this is though you got to remember that when he first started on this record, he was going in not as a full member.
Yeah,
he was hired as a session player. So really his attention to it probably at that point was probably not as intense as it would have been as if he would have been a full-on member. You know, obviously, he was going to do it a good job because when you get hired as a session musician, you want to do your very best work to satisfy your customer. So I always think about it that way as well because, you know, when we ask that question, you know, like, can we ignore, you know, Rick Wakeman's input to it? Well, you know, at that point, he wasn't really even a Yes member. No. So to me, in one way, Patrick Mraz's input on Gates of Delirium to me almost seems more relevant because he was a full member of Yes then.
Yes, that's right. It's fascinating, isn't it? And I think one of the things which John Anderson mentions, and we'll come back to his interview, which has actually turned out to be a very, very interesting one, which has been released this week, talking about A Thousand Hands. But he mentions the construction of Awaken and the way that, in fact, he worked so closely with Steve Howe, he says, on it, and also worked very, very closely with Rick Wakeman. And I think that was the basis of some of the enduring connection between Rick Wakeman and John Anderson. So all that time that they spent with him on the harp and Rick on the organ, just improvising music and enjoying playing with each other, that must have made, well, it clearly has made a massive bond. And that must have helped a lot, I suppose, in how Awaken was put together. The certainly those three, and the other two as well, of course, but those three really were together, weren't they? They felt like they were musical partners in this construction of this amazing piece.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Steve Howe's guitar playing is very, you know, evident and strong in this. He has all kinds of interesting passages that he makes. He has some interesting lap steel parts in there. And obviously, there's a really great video of Rick with John, as you said, jamming together on the organ and harp. And from all those extended jams, obviously, they must have come up with some great pieces that became part of Awaken. So it's those kind of moments that does bond musicians. I know that I've had some fantastic jam sessions with members of my band that lasted like 45 minutes long on a single piece, and you're done and you just look at each other and go, wow, that's a shame that we didn't record that or that we didn't use that, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly something was working extremely well, and some special extra ingredient or special extra magic that happened to create Awaken. And I was fascinated also with your comment about some of your friends say they like Yes, but not that Yes. And that brings us to the whole part of the argument, which is this might sum up a particular aspect of Yes, but can it sum up the whole thing? And it reminded me of the people that I know who tell me that they like Bohemian Rhapsody, but they don't like Queen, which I thought always think is a slightly hilarious idea. But yeah, so here's a question then. If we're happy that Awaken, and for the reasons I mentioned, I don't think we could include something like Ritual as the pinnacle, or for you maybe Gates. So if we're happy that epic period was summed up by those epic songs, so when the band broke up and started to get very, very difficult and then started to reinvent themselves, should they actually, in your opinion, have stuck with the name Cinema at that stage and not tried to, you know, commercially shoehorn it back into Yes, Would that actually have been better for the music itself?
I would say yes. It'd be probably better if they would have stuck with cinema, because it was obviously a much different style of music, a much different idea of music writing. They definitely weren't looking back. They were looking forward. But I'd be lying to you if I said that I'm not happy that they did go back to using the term yes, because we wouldn't have had the great continuation of their history that we got. Because if they would have continued as cinema, who knows what would have happened. When Trevor left and they finished doing, you know, Big Generator, would it have been just all over again? Or would they have maybe, you know, would they have continued? Who knows? I'm just glad that they stuck it out with Yes as the band name, because I think it just allowed them to just do more things after the fact.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. We've got a body of work which is called Yes, but is so multifaceted, as I always say. If they had remained with the name Cinema and produced 90125 and Big Generator and, you know, Talk as Cinema, I wonder at what point we would have been happy to call them Yes. If the same albums had been created, at what point could we have said again that this is Yes again? So would it have been Union? Would it have been Open Your Eyes or The Ladder or Fly From Here or Magnification? Are those, for you, Yes albums in the same way as the period that we're talking about here, that's typified by something like Awaken or Ritual or Gates?
Very interesting question. I have to say that for me, and I think some people might like just be in shock when I say this, but I would have been happy to have them recalled themselves Yes on Union. I think there's enough of it in spirit there to be called Union, I mean, to be called Yes, because when I listen to that record, there are moments in there that very much remind me of some of the Yes of old, you know, like Take the Water to the Mountain or some of these other songs, you know, that are very much kind of in that spirit of Yes. I mean, it's obviously different in many other ways, but that one, I think, would be one that I would have no problem with, but definitely and without any shadow of a doubt, I think they could have easily called it Yes again when they did Talk.
Right. Interesting. Yes. Fascinating. Well, let us know what you think about that. Has it always been Yes? Has it always been useful and helpful that it's been Yes? Or should we on the Yes Music Podcast actually be talking about different bands for these different eras? But this does bring us back to one last question to finish this off, which is, we have heard very recently, just a stop press type before we started recording, that there won't be a UK tour in 2019 because that space, that time, it seems, is going to be used to work on another Yes album. And as you pointed out in your piece, perhaps the band don't want to write another one of these epics. That's gone. You know, that's in the 70s and then touched on again with the large scale epics and so on across the different varieties of Yes that we've had. Perhaps we should put it like that. So we're going to start the whole speculation rumour mill about exactly what the band are going to come up with after Heaven and Earth and reactions to that, etc. But what do you think the fans, as a body of fans, really want the band to do on a new record? Should they be looking back to Awaken? Should they be looking back to one of the times where they tried to take the Yes concept on further into the future? What do you think most people would like to see?
Well, one thing that I know a lot of people want to see, including myself, and I'm really, really, you know, it's time to pull out the rosary again type of situation. I'm really hoping and praying that they're going to really have Billy involved in the songwriting in this, because if there's one thing that he's very strong at is this kind of progressive music. And the one thing that I've always thought that was maybe lacking a little bit in his songwriting are some of these magical elements, some of these things like that Steve Howe can add, like his kind of guitar playing or the kind of keyboard playing that Jeff Downes can add, or, you know, the kind of drum ideas that Alan White can come up with, these little things that they can add to make his songs that much more stellar, because they're very good stuff. I mean, could you imagine if they did Valley of the Windmill with Yes members. Could you imagine how that would have turned out? I mean, that's a great record. I really love that album. And if they would have added these Yes elements, like Steve Howe's playing and stuff like that, that's what I'm kind of hoping for. I'm almost hoping that they take an like idea like that, like a really strong, progressively based songwriting, but, you know, let kind of Billy kind of give the direction a bit more on it to say, listen, I think that as a fan of Yes, I would have loved to have heard this, and show them some ideas and kind of work off of that and rewrite it and restructure it into Yes type of music.
Fascinating, and it will be fascinating to see with Billy Sherwood back in the band now for the first studio album since he came back, and of course without Chris Squire for the first time for a studio album. So it is going to be absolutely fascinating, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more over the coming months about what that's going to be. But on the show notes for this week, do please add your comments about what we've been talking about today, which is Yes, what typifies Yes for you? Should we think of Yes as a whole, or different eras and different music which typifies those eras? And I suppose, is it worth doing any of it in the end? Let us know what you think. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Olá, sou o Miguel Falcão, de Coimbra, Portugal. Estão a ouvir o Yes Music Podcast.
So Mark is still with me, and we're going to have a little chat this week because the latest John Anderson interview that's been put on YouTube, and you can watch it if you haven't watched it already, go to the show notes for this episode, and I've embedded it in there. So this was a fantastic interview, and John Anderson really was on top form, I thought. He did play a few things, and he sang along to a few of the new songs from Thousand Hands, and I really did think that he looked very relaxed, very happy, and looking forward to this tour, which is coming up with the new material. Is that what the sort of feeling you got from it, Mark?
Oh, yeah, he definitely seems like he's on a high, so to speak, and looking very forward to bringing this new music out to everybody. He definitely seemed in good spirits.
Yes. I mean, before we go any further, I ought to say that I've listened to the samples of the new album, and I'm a little bit on the fence about whether I'm going to really enjoy this new material or not. But we'll come back to that when we can hear the real album itself. I think it's supposed to be released on the 31st of March. So we've got about another month to wait before that. But some of the things that he talked about in a very long and wide-ranging interview, a very interesting interview, were some of the people who are on this new album. And he specifically mentioned some things which perhaps I hadn't picked up, maybe some other people had, but the fact that on the song Activate Me, which is how he referred to it, although on the track listing that I've seen, it's just called Activate, but anyway, it doesn't matter. So Squire and White, and that seems to be an older recording on this song called Activate Me. So that will be absolutely fascinating to see. But also more fascinating than that is when he mentioned Steve Howe. And he seemed to be saying to me, perhaps I need to go back and watch it again just to confirm, but I think he said that he asked specifically Steve Howe, and this must have been, I suppose, recently, maybe it's not, but asked him if he would play on the last track on the album. And Steve Howe said he would, and it's called Now and Again, which I don't think there's a sample of at all. And John Anderson described this as an homage to Our Life Together. And he went on about it ending the album beautifully, and it's a very sweet song and so on. And does this actually constitute, if it was done recently, somewhat of a thawing of the relationship between these two? And does that mean, and he didn't rule it out, that John Anderson will be working with Steve Howe again at some point? What did you think, Mark?
I mean, it's very interesting because when I saw them last time together on some sort of a video situation, it was for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they seemed very, very cold toward each other. They didn't seem very friendly at that point. But, you know, time supposedly heals all wounds. So it is very possible that there is a mending of the bridge, so to speak, between them. And that would be fantastic for many reasons, because number one, and I'll go out on record to say it, I don't want John back in Yes. I really don't. I'm very happy with the way Yes is now, and I can only see them going further into the future with the way it is now, with younger people and newer people coming into it. But I'm glad that their relationship would be mended, because that doesn't mean that they can't do other projects together and release other music together, which I think would be absolutely brilliant. I could only imagine what another record would, let's just say, just Steve and John working on something with some session musicians could turn out.
Yeah, I think that would be really great. And he did seem to, I mean, as is usual with John, you got the impression from that interview that he had so many other projects all going on. There's a violin one that he's working on with a local violinist, and he talked about Zamran, which we keep hearing about, the sort of sequel to Elias, with a guy who he called Max Heed, but he didn't seem to know whether that was really the guy's name. And apparently he's creating a video game based on that. And there are so many things, as always. But the nice thing about the mention of Elias was that he confirmed that they're definitely doing a couple of songs from Elias of Sunhillo on this Thousand Hands tour, alongside things like Starship Trooper, Yours Is No Disgrace, America even, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. And it sounds like it's going to be a very wide-ranging concert series with all these different types of things, and very, very much differently treated, because we've already seen some social media posts with cellists and violinists and so on who are going to be taking part in this band. So it could be a really, really interesting set of concerts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very curious to see the first sort of videos to leak from this tour, because it sounds like he's going to have an interesting band, and it sounds like there's going to be an interesting mix of music. Like we said, there's going to be something from Elias. Definitely he's going to be pushing this new material as well, and he's going to be doing Yes stuff. So it's going to be almost like a retrospective of his career in one concert.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see it, and I'm very much looking forward to it, as you are. Now, of course, it does beg the question, what about ARW? And he seemed to be confirming that he said to the other guys in ARW, I'll see you in 2020 or 2021, he said. So maybe he's pushing it back even further than we thought originally. And he seemed to be suggesting that two things I thought were interesting. He seemed to be suggesting that he really wanted to make new music. So that album that we've been hearing about for so many years now, he wanted to put out new music, but it didn't seem that, maybe he was hinting that the others weren't as committed to doing that as he was, certainly. And he said something about the tour being not as organized as it should have been. And that's one of the reasons he stated for, you know, not carrying on with ARW at the moment. So although he's always very positive and upbeat and so on, perhaps it's not been quite as he thought it might have been in ARW.
Yeah, I think that on paper it probably looked really great, but once it all got together, I think that it maybe didn't turn out the way he had hoped. The one thing about ARW that I noticed, which is vastly different than the current Yes, is ARW to me are like three chefs in one kitchen, whereas Yes seems to be one chef and like a bunch of line cooks. And that seems to work a lot better, I think, as far as organization and stuff like that, because I don't think there's as much headbutting when it comes to these kind of situations. I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm putting Yes down like the other members by saying that. I'm just saying that as far as organization goes, I think it works much better that way. If you have too many people who want to be the head of the band, then you never get anything done. I've been in a situation like that before where everybody wanted to have their way done. And then you know what happens when you do that? Nothing gets done.
Because
you can never agree on anything, and you just sit still. And I think that's exactly what's happening with ARW. And I think that's exactly what happened with the writing of the music. John was probably all gung-ho, let's go do it. Maybe Trevor Rabin wasn't liking what was going on. Maybe he didn't want to write this kind of stuff. You know, and who knows what Rick's stance is in all of this, but he has a very strong opinion as well on stuff. So when you put those three kind of heads together in one band, I mean, the only thing they could probably agree on is just to play live and just let's just play the songs that we have in the set list, and that's it. And that's probably why it's so stuck like that, because he probably can't agree on anything.
Yes, maybe so. And wouldn't it have been great if that wasn't the case? But, you know, I do feel very positive, certainly about the live aspect of The Thousand Hands. And I'm hoping that I'll really like the album as well. Okay, so what's your reaction to this? Please leave your comments again on the show notes for this episode. Are you excited about John Anderson? Are you going to see John Anderson soon and can give us a report on it? Or are you slightly underwhelmed by what you see from John at the moment? But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Hello, this is Patrick Moraz, and you are listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Just before we go, here's the patron update at the beginning of March 2019. Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, VR Hoisington, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. And Yes Music Podcast patrons are Aaron Steelman, Bob Martellotta, Brian Sullivan, Chris Bandini, Craig Estenes, Dave Owen, David Hayden, David Pannell, Dave Watkinson, Dem, Scott Smith, Simon Barrow, Sonic Bond, Steve Dill, Steve Rode, Steve Scott, Stephen Raw, Terence Sadler, Tim Stannard, Todd Dudley, Lobate Scarp, Mark Zarkal Bags, Mark James Lang, Michael O'Connor, Miguel Falcao, Neil Caffrey, Paul Hales, Paul Tomei, Paul Watson, Peter Herndon, Fergus Cubbage, Fred Barringer, Jeff Bailey, Jeffrey Mason, Jamie McQuinn, Jeremy North, Jim, John Cowan, Martin Kjellberg, Tony Handley, Walter Lynn Mosley, William Hayes, Guy de Rome, Henrik Antonsen, Ian N.B., Lind, Ken Fuller, Keith Hoisington, Doug Curran, Rachel Hadaway, Robert Naser, Scott Colombo, John Holden, John Parry, John Thompson, Joost Maglef, Joseph Cottrell, H.B. Peterson, please do let me know how to pronounce your name, and Steve Perry. Continued thanks, of course, to Robert and David. So thank you very much indeed to those patrons. If you'd like to join them in helping to support the show financially and have access to lots of exclusive content and activities, head over to patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast or just click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's all the time we have this week. I do hope we'll be back again next week. In the meantime, please do follow the show and get involved on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.